Okay, it is 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. Tonight, I am happy to introduce Annabelle Brown, who is going to be leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight. So we'll call the Common Council meeting to order. And stand, no, you're okay, come on up. Stand, and Annabelle will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Per the minutes, Dan gave the police update under department heads, but I'm pretty sure that was Gary. Any other changes or corrections?
I have one.
Yes.
It is on page, let me find the page number for us. It's Mayor, it's where you spoke about when Sean gave your presentation. It's on page three.
Three of the minutes? Or three of the packet?
The packet.
Okay.
And it says there's a part that I believe that we're missing a word.
Okay.
Let me find it. I apologize. I wish you're
fine.
So it's the paragraph that Mayor Daniel reported he spoke with Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go down, he advised the money will be distributed through to the city through 2038, which for the next 14 years, and will come in bigger increments at first and smaller increments the further we out. Or out we.
I got you. The further out we go. I'm sure that's usually one of my colloquialisms.
Yep.
So, yes. Further out we go, probably. Yep. Yes. Thank you for that catch.
Yep.
Any other changes or corrections? Did you see that, Ruth?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other changes or corrections? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Ted. Further discussion? All in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up, we have Becky Walter with a presentation from the Arts Commission. Becky? Come on up. On April 2.
And April 2.
Wow.
Hello, I'm Becky Walter. I'm a retired teacher here in Whitley County. I've lived here all my life. And this is April Frazier, par excellence here, dance studio owner and teacher.
Yes.
And we are representing the Whitley, the Columbia City Arts Commission. We've had a big year. I'm just gonna, you want that? Okay, sure. Here you go. And we're just going to go to the first one and then just wait.
Okay.
So we started in January of last year, and in February we made a Facebook page. We established that presence. We had voted for officers, and we put out a thing for input from the public. And then in March, we started identifying, February and March, we started identifying what exactly we want to work on. And we had a list of goals to accomplish, and I think we did a really good job of hitting our goals. We have grants from the Whitley County Community Foundation to help with three Art in the Alley opportunities in partnership with Columbia City Connect. And then we did a Sample the Arts across the street. And then we did our big event, which was the Studio Arts Tour. So you're going to see some pictures of all of these things in just a minute. Doug Eagle started painting on the sidewalk outside of Chapman's and then down on the corner. And then, let's see, we're opening a web page and the Artist Studio Tour next year is September 7th, so you want to get that on your calendar as quickly as possible. It was amazing. And in November, a really neat thing is that we allocated money to the Whitley Arts Partnership, and that is to provide financial aid for any child who cannot financially participate in our youth theater program. So that's a huge deal. And we have enough for 10 scholarships. So we are very, very happy about that. And then in December, we had an art market when they have Christmas at the courthouse across the street. There was a room full of artists over there. So we think we've filled Whitley County or Columbia City with art. We came from nothing and we did all these things. So let's look at some of the things we did. So can you go in the beginning?
Yeah, we'll go back here.
There
we go.
All right. So this is our group. It's Kay Fleck, Jennifer, Mike Thomas, me, Doug Egolf, Greg Hockemeyer, and April. And that's our logo designed by our friend Jennifer Romano right there. It's really beautiful. And there was a lot of input on what needed to be in there. And I just think she did a wonderful job. And we all have T-shirts, so it's really fun to wear them. Okay, so let's go on. You do that?
Yeah.
Okay, this is our first Art in the Alley in June. And that was in the alley over by Ball Furniture. And we had several artists there that brought things, and we had children who came and got to experience making art with an adult or with their siblings. And so that was just a really hot day but it was great. And also in June, they had music. It was art, music, and spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the music was In the Alley by Chapman's, and we brought the youth theater cast of SpongeBob and sang for about 10 minutes down there, and there were so many people in that alley. You can't believe how many people were down there, so that was really fun. So is it moving on?
Yeah, okay. These are all art.
This is June.
We partnered with Columbia City Connect, activated the alleys, and so we partnered with them.
Did you take that picture?
Which one?
That one. That is a beautiful picture.
I think Nikki Keister did.
Really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. She took that one, too.
Okay, and that's Bill from Music Encounters with his 5-gallon bucket drums. Here's Doug starting the first pour on that beautiful mural on our street over there, and he worked... How many hours do you think he worked on that?
40 to 50, yeah.
Yeah, he was downtown at night painting when nobody else was around. And there's Jennifer, because she helped a lot, too. And it is so, so great. So we're trying to just make public art that is accessible to everybody and everybody can enjoy. We had a... Taste of the Arts?
This was at the Clugston. It was supposed to be Art in the Alley, but with weather, we moved inside to the Clugston.
Yeah, so we had a lot of artists down there. We filled up that building. She's a weaving friend of mine. I had my loom. There were easily 10 people in there.
I think we had 10
beautiful art.
Yeah.
This room was full, and that other back room was also full. And then they had things for sale and just things that you could admire and get to know the artists. And it was, the place was just buzzing the whole time. And all the artists were thrilled. So when we started this, we did not know how many artists there were in this county. I kept getting names and getting names and getting names and getting bios and reading about the amazing talent that is here that... You don't hear about the artists. They're in their studio doing their little thing. They're not on a stage performing. They're just being happy being artists. And it is staggering to me, the talent we found is just out there.
Should be transitioning.
Are we going to go?
Taste of the Arts.
There we go. That was outside the building. So the Taste of the Arts was around the courthouse. And we had a small turnout for the first time. We have some ideas how to make it better for the next time and make it more visible that kids and families are welcome to come up and see what we're doing. So it was just same thing, just artists out in public doing what they do so other people know we're there. Have you seen this mural? This is outside of Pickles. What is it called? Thomas Marshall Pickle? Pickle Marshall?
Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then in September, we had our studio art tour, and we're going to want to pause here for just a second.
If I can get the screen to go away.
Oh, I don't know. We had Paige Laird from Sage and Stone across the street, and Jennifer Romano and at her Indigo studio. Jennifer Kraft, a watercolor artist at her studio. Valerie Geip was unable to participate, but she brought beautiful photography to my front porch to display. And Deborah Robinson, the amazing oil painter. Natalie Wright, who runs Artful Transformations, another amazing place. And April, who opened her dance studio and had a lot of fun and had her tap shoes out because that's what she does really well. And then over at Hockemeyer's Law Office, they had Doug Egolf and Lee Rodman, the guy on East Van Buren, just down from the corner.
He's actually over towards the Bruja, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay, yeah,
but
okay.
Yeah.
All right, and then a guy that I'm not sure that's really his name.
Zach Nogood Zach is his name, but his art company. That
oh, he's no good? Okay.
Zach Nogood.
Yeah.
But he is good.
He is good. Yeah. I always ask him, like, why no good? But, yeah.
So good.
Because he's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah.
He does airbrush and with stencils. He makes his own stencils.
Wow. So the studio art tour, everybody was at their home, except for those three guys. And, like, my front porch was full of weavers. My weaving teacher, a friend of mine who's a weaver, and me. And then we had our looms, and we just sat there and wove all day and talked about weaving. And people would park and come up and circulate and buy stuff. And it was an amazing day. It was just the most beautiful day to be around. Mm-hmm. And this was all over the county. So we had a map, and we had a thing for people to follow, and we had punch cards, and then we had drawings, mm-hmm. and people won some drawing money
gift cards from
to pay
artist.
For a purchase from an artist. So that was just a wonderful, wonderful event. And that's down at Hockemeyer's. There's Kay Flack hanging mm-hmm. out with the cool kids.
We provided a spot for those artists because they didn't actually have a storefront, so we used Greg's lot to give them a place to display.
That's just the logo of the Whitley Arts Partnership. And
since we're donating,
that's a nonprofit that I've worked with that we do the youth theater program. We've promoted the community theater program, the children's choir program here. So there's a lot going on all over the place that you just don't even know about. But we're starting with kids and working our way up. At Christmas, we had a holiday art market across the street. And the next picture, yeah, there's some really good pictures. You could come in and do your artsy Christmas shopping. That is Kim Myers Tubbs.
Natalie.
Mm-hmm, from Artful Transformations. So, and there's, I don't know who that is. That's Jennifer. So these are our events. Summer Art Camp, we're well into planning for that for some underprivileged kids. And we've already set the date for the studio arts thing, and I can't remember what the one in the middle
is. We're going to try to do some holiday, like the holiday art market again.
So as you can see, that's a busy year. That's 12 months of activities. We did something actually practically every month of the year. And we worked as a team. And we have a lot of really creative people who meet here once a month, and you're free to come in and watch us because we get rather carried away. Yeah. So, any questions?
We should add, too, that there's a fantastic video that's been put together about the art tour.
The beautiful
video. And we feel, like, warm and happy about Whitley County as a whole.
We're going to try to get it on the website soon so you could click on it. It's a very... There's very good video.
Amazing drone photography in there too. Mm-hmm. We are talking about creating a YouTube channel, and it will be on Facebook, but it'll also hopefully one day be on YouTube.
And it's not just about the art tour, but it's also about why art is important and why it's something that we should care about.
It's interviews of the artists. Every single interview, every artist got an interview. Anything? Thanks for letting us be a commission, Mayor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, again, the council passed the ordinance. I think it was an important thing that we all kind of said it's important for us to have an arts commission here. I think we're probably one of the smaller communities to have an arts commission, but I think it's important for the future of our community. As we know, individuals are choosing where to live because of the environment, not necessarily because of jobs anymore. And so creating an environment where artists feel not only welcome, but that the aesthetic value of our community is broadened because of the work of so many individuals, artists, but certainly the Arts Commission is part of that. So, one last question I did have was, I think it's the website was www.ccartscommission. Is that a .com?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. .com. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to thank you guys for doing all this work. It just gives another reason for people to come to Columbia City. Because people are looking for amenities. When I first started here 16 years ago, it's why do you come to Columbia City? There was no answer. We came to Columbia City because of, baseball, softball, but there's so much more to do other than sports, So I will very much welcome you guys putting this together, and just in a short year, what would happen? So the future is going to be amazing for you guys. So I really, really appreciate all the work you guys do.
Thank you. I know I was pleasantly surprised of just all the talent we had in our town that I didn't
it's stunning.
Know about. Then when we did the studio art tour, I was like, holy cow, there's a lot of talent here.
So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have Humane Shelter. Abby, I see you here. Come on up.
I'm Abby, for those of you who don't know me. I don't have a fancy presentation, but if you need pictures of cute puppies or kittens, if you're having a bad day, let me know. So, I've been the director since 2018, and just have some fun numbers to share, a little bit about our contract with you, and then if you have any questions. So, on the first big piece of paper, just 2023 at a glance for us, just some fun things to point out. Again, talking about bringing people to Whitley County and Columbia City, our out-of-state adoptions are always very interesting to me. So 16 out-of-state adoptions from all over the place is always very interesting to me. Fun numbers to point out for dogs specifically, 70 dogs accepted from other organizations. We try very hard to work with overcrowded shelters if we have the space to do so. We have 3 or 4 shelters that we work with regularly that are euthanizing for space, so we will pull from them if we have the space to do so. And then on the cat side, I think most importantly, 495 cats spayed and neutered in 2023 just to help with that overpopulation problem. And then on the flip side of we have space to pull dogs, we are always overcrowded with cats, so we moved 100 cats to other organizations last year that were able to help us out to free up some cage space. Something I talked with Mayor Ryan last week or 2 weeks ago on lunch with the mayor, 12,000 hours of volunteering were logged by our dedicated volunteers, so we have a great community. People come from outside of the community as well to volunteer with us. We are very grateful for their support and their help for sure. The two blue boxes, the number of cats and dogs saved, so 2,897 cats and 1,600 dogs saved since 2019. The numbers are usually 2018 or 2019 because that's when I started and numbers weren't counted as frequently before I started, so that's why it's always those years. And a couple of important dates coming up, so we have our dessert dance in March, our 5Ks in September. Our auction, which is our biggest fundraiser of the year, is always in November, and that is online. And then pictures with Santa in December. So just some fun things to point out on there. On the half sheet of paper, again, just interesting numbers to share. So 151 kittens that weren't old enough for adoption when they came into our care last year went to foster homes with 21 moms. Over 4,700 cats and dogs have been spayed since or in the last 5 years. So while we don't have a vet on staff, we are doing our very best to help the community and within our shelter get that overpopulation under control. We do take in cats and dogs primarily is what we're taking in, but we do take in anything with fur, so rabbits, guinea pigs, rats, ferrets. And one time we had a potbelly pig. I did not appreciate that, but it did come in. And then at the very bottom, we do go through, just to put into perspective, about 700 pounds of cat litter a month and about 400 pounds of dog food a month. So the support of our community is amazing, and if we have a need, they are always reaching out to or helping us when we reach out to them. But just to kind of put into perspective how quickly that 25-pound bag of cat litter goes. So on the second page, or on the back page, is just a breakdown of our numbers with Columbia City, with the contract. We are very grateful for your support and appreciate the contract that we have with you. So you can see at the bottom that our contract covers roughly 231 animals from within city limits, and then the number of animals that we've taken in each year. So any questions for me? Forgive and meds for both dogs and cats. We do not eat them, I promise. We get the the cheapest ones from the Dollar Tree are their favorite.
That's how my wife gives me medicine. I know. Go ahead, Rosie.
I was just going to say, I worked with Abby back and forth since the last meeting, trying to state the thing down a little bit better so you guys could understand what this is. We pay the every 6 months, so we pay the $12,500 at the beginning of the year and $12,500 in the middle of the year. So I don't know if that's better for you or pay quarterly.
If whatever works for you, it doesn't matter to us. So, yep, every municipality does a little different. So.
And I think Dan, you had said, according to what you thought, they were in the hole $1,000, which that's what she came up with, that $1,000.
Is that basically that you just write off the difference effectively?
Right. So I just am showing you that you guys reached your contractual obligation, basically.
Yeah.
But then I continue for each municipality that, hey, we did take in these additional animals that weren't covered under the contract, just so you're seeing those numbers. So like I said, on that back sheet, so 2022, we took in about 20 more animals than what the contract covered, just to give you guys an idea of what we're doing.
And
so
these numbers in here are just Columbia City?
On this back page with the gears is just Columbia City, yes. Yep.
I'm sorry. Like I said before, I was here when we had the dogs out of the water department and trying to feed them and people cleaning them out. It was horrible.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
So I appreciate all the work you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Because, street guys had to go out and get the dogs and put them in. Yeah. It was just a mess. So I really, really do appreciate the work you guys do.
Thank you.
I hate to put you on the spot.
You're good.
But one thing that has been consistently discussed in this group has been about chickens.
Okay.
And I just think it's important to know that you mentioned, and rightfully so, that you mentioned that really anything with fur, you guys will bring in.
Yeah.
Right? But you didn't say feathers.
Right, feathers or scales.
For that.
Yeah.
Feathers or scales.
Yes.
There's a reason for that. I only bring that to the point of saying there was a lot of conversation, half a year ago, quarter of a year ago, about that specific topic, and the reasoning rationale was, what are we going to do with complicated chickens, if you will. And obviously, you guys aren't set up to take in those kind of animals, correct?
Correct.
I just want to make sure. Just,
and then part of the legwork, that was a call that was
made. Yes, yes. And I really believe that. I think it's important to note as that it wasn't something you guys just pulled out of your rears.
Right.
That it was something that where...
Yeah, I spoke with Chief Parrott at some point last year, I believe, that that's just not something that we have the space or the capability of housing, unfortunately. Yeah. What? Right. There would be a big disruption in the building, I think.
other questions that Abby has to derail us too much. Other questions? Well, Abby, I speak on behalf of the council. Thank you for the efforts that the Humane Shelter has been doing. I think it's great. I appreciated our conversation the other day on lunch with the mayor. It's very enlightening for me personally. It's just to see the breadth of what you guys do and how much volunteerism it takes to keep the shelter running, and really the shoestring budget that you all are on. I think we are really proud to be able to support the Humane Shelter, but even more than that, just really are behind you, rooting you on in a lot of ways, I think. So.
And thank you for coming in to talk about the numbers.
Yeah. If you ever have any questions, feel free to reach out.
To educate
yeah.
The community.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Okay. Next up, the annual MS4 report. John.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, I apologize. Before you get up there, John, I'm sorry. I forgot we need to approve the Humane Shelter Agreement. Do I have a motion to approve the Humane Shelter Agreement for 2024?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Leslie, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? Mm-hmm. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. Mm-hmm. It is unanimous. Okay, we'll get that sign over. Yeah. Okay. Okay, now, John, I'm sorry. Come on up. Thank you.
So I did send the annual activities report ahead of time, so you might have a chance to have seen it and maybe read it. And so I'm just going to briefly kind of go through a few things. We're in the second year of the new MS4 general permit that IDEM instituted, so we're still in some ways getting up to speed. We submitted our first stormwater quality management report, and this is posted on the stormwater webpage. So this describes what we're doing as an MS4 program, and it aligns with the new MS4 general permit, the requirements in there. And so the annual activities report for this year follows the format of the new stormwater quality management plan. And so if you ever have any questions about the plan, please let me know, and I'll be happy to explain why we did things the way we did. So we submitted that in February 21st of 2023, and we've not gotten any feedback from IDEM, so apparently it was satisfactory. They've updated the annual report form that we use to report to them on our program. They had a form in the past, and they've changed the format of it. The final draft hasn't been approved by the state yet, but I expect that any time. So our annual report will go in on April 1st. And some of the other communities, the larger MS4 communities in the past under the old reporting regime, they would attach all the documentation that described everything they did for their MS4 program. And IDEM doesn't want that. They just want a summary. And if they have questions about our program and how we're documenting what we're doing, then they'll ask us either to send them the documentation or they'll come and ask to look at it. So that's going to be a little different. They wanted us to update the water quality characterization report. The original report that was done for the MS4 was back in 2003, and it had never been updated. In lieu of, I've been working on the update, but instead of the full report, what I did is I sent them an update of our receiving water's water quality monitoring report. And I sent that in, and I haven't had any feedback from IDEM on that, so I think they were happy with that. What they want in the water quality characterization report is some idea of what the quality is of your receiving waters, and we have data from 2007 onward. We've monitored, checked the waters every year, and I can get you, if you're interested in seeing an updated, I don't know if I sent out the updated water quality report, but I can send that out to you if you want to see that. It's updated through 2022, so that's available. And one of the things then that we need to do this year is to update the stormwater ordinances. So I've been reviewing our current ordinances and trying to develop a list of recommendations for the ordinance review committee to take a look at and see. There's probably two possible approaches to that. One would be to update what's currently in the ordinances to get them to conform to what the state requirements are, or the Purdue's local technical assistance program has produced a model stormwater ordinance where all the stormwater requirements are put together in one ordinance. So that would be a more extensive process, I think, than trying to update the ordinances as they currently exist. Going into the minimum control measures, IDEM combined public education and outreach and public participation and involvement into one MCM. I kept them somewhat separate in the activities report. One of the things we did is there were some existing city programs that actually have water quality benefits, and so we included those in the new stormwater quality management plan. So now we're going to report on the leaf pickup and composting program that has water quality benefits. The limb pickup program has some water quality benefits, and the junk pickup day. And so there's also a public participation and involvement element in those. So it seemed like a good idea to include those in the stormwater quality management plan. They want us to target three different groups of constituents for public education, and they want us to pick a stormwater quality issue to target. And so what I've chosen to target in the first five-year permit term is pet waste for residential constituents, trash and litter for commercial and industrial constituents, and then erosion and sediment controls for construction and development constituents. So we handed out, I helped with a pretreatment program by doing grease trap inspections at restaurants in the city. And one of the things we did is we have a trash dumpster management fact sheet that we passed out to all the restaurants so that would they could use that for employee training and try to improve their practices in using trash dumpsters at their facilities. And so that would also be part of this public education and outreach targeting. I've been attending meetings of the Northeast Indiana Regional MS4 group. And so the group has been discussing maybe we could get together and do some combined trainings for people in the construction and development constituency. That's one of the requirements of the new permit, that we do a couple of events for public education for contractors to get them to improve their practices. The illicit discharge detection and elimination, MCM, we do have a guidance document for that Jeff Walker put together, but it's never been adopted formally, so we need to do some revisions on that and adopt that formally. And then we do have, with new development, we do have some new stormwater outfalls that need to be incorporated in the map that we have of the MS4. So I'm working with the GIS coordinator on getting that up to speed. Construction site stormwater runoff program, we're doing pretty well with that. We will, once we get the ordinance updated, need to update some of the technical standards. The original stormwater development manual, which is also posted on the stormwater webpage, there is some language in that, in the existing manual, that's a little bit confusing. And there are some things that we need to do a little different with stormwater management standards. And that also applies to the post-construction stormwater runoff control. Some of the standards in the stormwater manual need to be clarified or updated. And we'll do that again after we get the, get the updated ordinance in place. And then the municipal operations, pollution prevention, and good housekeeping. I think the main thing we need to work on is just to make sure we get better documentation of the things that we're doing. We're doing all the departments are doing all the things that are required by for the stormwater program, but we don't always document everything that we do. And so we need to make sure we've got documentation in place to show IDEM that we are doing what they want us to do. And then we're also supposed to be doing training for new hires and seasonal employees. We do quarterly training for existing employees, but we probably need to do some training for the seasonal employees and for new hires. So that's kind of a summary of what's going on with the minimum control measures and just kind of a basic overview of where we're at with the MS4 program. And if you have any questions, then.
I was just looking at some of the graphs that you provided. It looks like with all the work that has been done in the past for stormwater separation, our graph is looking really good for the water quality.
Yeah.
Being dispensed versus what it did years ago. All the graphs are looking really good for Columbia City.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you once you get this together for us.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting when you see that. You see the progression of the work being done previously. So.
Yeah, I think the completion of the long-term control plan is really going to make a difference on the E. coli. It's just going to take some time for it to kind of catch up to the new state, you know. So I think the E. coli bacteria can live in the stream bed for an extended period of time, so it's going to take a little while to wash those out.
That was going to be my question, because we have finished the LTCP, but I didn't know that, you know, it kind of hangs out for a while,
yeah.
If you will. What you talked about new ordinances, and or at least the need to update the ordinances.
Yeah.
What kind of time frame are you thinking about for that? Obviously, for the council's sake, since we're going.
Okay. Well, IDEM wants that in place by July 1st of 2024.
So soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd hope to have my recommendations pulled together sooner,
okay.
But. It took longer to do some of this other stuff so than I expected.
And those will go to Mike, and then Mike Choda will take it and work with Marsha on putting that together.
So that's another reason I'm kind of leaning towards maybe updating what we already have in place as opposed to doing a total overhaul of the ordinances.
One other question I had was, I know it talked a little bit about litter cleanup, I think on page 8. And the only, I mean, I'm sure that there were others that did it. I will tell you from a litter cleanup standpoint, I know that Columbia City Connect did do a downtown cleanup thing where there was some raking and some trash pickup and things like that, just so you're aware.
Okay.
But I don't know of any others that there probably were more, but I don't know of any others that were, just so you're aware, because that's, I think it's happened for maybe 2 years now, so it's kind of become an annual thing.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I can contact them and get caught up with that.
Yeah.
One of the things that happened is I used to rely on going through articles in the Post and Mail to kind of pick up on some of the community activities that related to stormwater, and I don't have that available now, and so I kind of lost track if there are community things like that. So if you know of any groups in the community that are doing litter pickup in the spring or any time, just let me know and I'll try to contact them and get some recognition for them in the annual report.
Other questions for John? Thank you for your work, John. We appreciate it. Appreciate the partnership we've had with the Soil and Water Conservation District and certainly with you over many years now.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Next up is the petition for voluntary annexation of land to the City of Columbia City. Chip?
This is the final phase of County Dye's proposed annexation, so this would take in, I can't remember the actual number of acres, I'm sorry about that, but it'll roughly 200 acres expand, and so she is getting ready to start development pending this, so we're going to be having a new housing development hopefully next year.
This one takes in 131.22 acres.
131. The whole total is 260.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's part, this one.
So this is the second, we'll say half,
yes.
Half, but the second half of the totality of the Dye property.
The first part we can only take in 1/8 contingent to the city, so that's why they had to limit it 80 acres, and so this is the rest of it.
And I'm assuming, and Marcia, this is probably more of a question for you, but I'm assuming that the other document we have to provide. Talks about the
fiscal plan.
Thank you, the fiscal plan.
I'll be preparing that.
But I'm assuming that it's basically the same as what the first fiscal plan was because it's the same property. It's just an expansion of that same property.
Yes.
Right? So, okay. And then is this, remind me for the annexation process, this, so we have an approval, and then is there other steps that we
so we notify Connie of the second hearing and second reading of the petition and the public hearing.
Gotcha.
And really that fiscal plan should be introduced at that meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
And then we have time frames on how we provide notice to that. And then the third meeting has to be the next meeting.
Okay. So this is the introduction.
This is the introduction of the petition.
Okay. Of the petition, but there is no acceptance at this moment. Or there is.
This is just this is your introduction of the petition.
Yeah.
And then we'll have, it's the first reading of the petition.
Okay.
Then we will introduce the ordinance on 227.
Okay. Any questions regarding the annexation?
We just want to, for the sake of everyone listening and present,
sure.
Reiterate the point that this is a voluntary
yes.
annexation. Someone is choosing to join
yes.
the city.
Yes. Yes, there are multiple ways in which annexation can happen in the state of Indiana. There is super voluntary, which is what this is officially. There's voluntary, where it's a certain percentage. And then there's municipally initiated, which is the city actually initiates the annexation. This is a super voluntary, which means that it's one property owner that is 100% requesting to the city for it to be annexed in the city. It is not us going to them. It is them coming to us. So, of course, as we've talked about in past meetings, the goal of this annexation for those individuals is to develop that property into additional housing, which everybody, I think, in this room understands there's a strong need for in Columbia City.
Yes.
This property is off of 200 East, is that right? And actually backs up to Morsha's Park. No, it is not. Thank you for that, Dan. It is not south of town. It is on the north side or the east side. So, any questions? Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, so we will move that to the next step in the process then.
Do we need a vote?
Well, no. What I heard was we do not need to vote.
But you do the first reading.
Okay. Oh, so we still need to do official first reading. Okay, I apologize.
It's just a petition.
Okay.
No.
Just the title. Do I have a motion to read the petition by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Motion by Jennifer, second by Ted for the discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read petition by title only.
Petition for voluntary annexation of land to the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Okay. And we do not need to take action on it. Okay. So it's been read. We've talked about it. We'll wait till the next meeting, correct? To do the next step.
Yes.
Thank you.
That is correct.
Okay.
And I'm going to be working with Rosie to get the dates
This is a great moment in time to thank the legislature for putting all these extra steps in place. So. Next up is ordinance, I think, 2000, are we ready for the next ordinance? Next up is ordinance 2024-2. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2024-2 by title only.
Ordinance 2024-2. An ordinance amending Chapter 53 regarding the user fees to pay the cost of trash collection for residential customers within the City of Columbia City.
You will remember last year that there, Leslie, you were there, so I'm assuming you remember as well, that there was, that it was time to re-up, if you will, our trash contract. After a lot of conversation, the trash committee, we went out, we talked to other communities, talked about what their rates were, what kind of contracts they're seeing, what their numbers are coming in, and we felt like what was being provided to us by Waste Management for a three-year contract extension was very reasonable compared to what other people were paying. And so, however, that there was still a price increase as a part of that. So the trash committee had had suggested or had considered, if you will, multiple options, but felt like it made the most sense to do an adjustment to the trash fee to really just to incorporate the additional cost of the contract itself. So keep in mind, when an individual pays their trash fee on their utility bill monthly, they're paying for a weekly trash pickup. But not only that, we also are setting aside a little money from those bills to pay for the junk cleanup that happens once a year as well. So effectively, this is really a money-in, money-out situation, meaning that residents pay, the service is provided, and we pay right back out to the trash company. So we're really not, we don't make money off of this, really. It goes toward that trash and junk pickup. So that's what it's there for. So I think this is this a $2? Went from 11 to 13. So.
Still not bad compared to what
I know. Again, I heard other communities are paying 15 and 19 and 18 bucks per month. So again, we felt like this was, the best that we could probably find at this moment in time. Like I said, we had a lot of conversation about going out for bid, but every community I talked to was telling me the prices they were getting back were higher than the proposed extension prices we were getting from Waste Management. So, any questions about that? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2024-2 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Go ahead.
Motion by Tad, second by Leslie. Further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at the next meeting. Thank you. Okay, next up, department head reports. Chip?
Earlier tonight, the Board of Works approved a contract with Pulver Construction to do asphalt and construction to start on Westgate. That is, we're anticipating that to start March 11th. The Eagle Park is moving forward. We are getting ready to sign bids at bids at the end of the month. Utility relocation started for Blue River Trail, so that is getting ready to go off for bid here in the next month and a half. I'm trying to think what else. That's good enough.
Chip. Thank you. Terry.
Excuse me. The fiber cut that we had in Morris Park has been fixed, so now we're just waiting on baseline to finish working up around the water department's booster station so we can get that on the fiber network also. With Genus up, we got 4 computers replaced in the squad room in the last week. And also we have a meeting tomorrow with Spillman to go over the patch up and creating a new server for the police department.
Questions of Terry? Thank you. Sean?
Well, we continue changing of the aging utility poles out on Fair Road, which is on Schreiner Lake, just off of 9. This week we've gotten 6 or 7 of them done. We're going to do the entire road, which is probably around 30 poles or so. So guys are doing a great job. It's a great project for my younger linemen, since I have a bunch of them now, to kind of learn and learn on the job. So guys are doing great work there. Tom will talk about it a little bit, but our mechanic was away at training on fire engine maintenance last week, and he was excited to go away and get some knowledge and bring it back to our utility. We did order a new wire trailer because ours, as I said before, since Gary isn't here, wasn't exactly road legal. So we ordered a new trailer. We got that coming tomorrow. Other than that, Terry and I have been working on some fiber splicing equipment. Every time we have a break in our fiber that the city owns, it's a process to get anybody to come in and splice that anymore. So the last time we had splices done, like Terry was talking, was $7,000 to just do the splicing. We can purchase the equipment for $13,000 to $14,000, and I have a gentleman on my staff that's willing to learn and has done it before, but learn to do it with this machinery, and he's actually pretty excited about it. So we're looking at ways to maybe obtain our own equipment. So if we do two splices, basically it's paid for. So working on that with Terry, and hopefully we get something ordered by the end of the week on that. Other than that, just day to day, we're super busy. Keep running out of meters. More and more services going. So.
Questions of Sean? Thank you. Matt?
We held the Father's Daughter Dance last Friday, Saturday. We were sold out both nights. And again, thank you, Mayor and Dan, for coming and helping us tear down on Saturday night. We tore down the wooden skate ramp that was inside the skate park that was built by Josh Corral and Mike Thomas. It just had been rotten too much, and it was a liability safety hazard. We started a hire process for the pool for summertime. We're going to also be at the high school March 14th for their career fair, and we're going to try to put out things for seasonal help with maintenance, and concession stand is there. Hiring process also started for the admin assistant. We got through the first round of interviews today, and we will start the second round next week and get that finished up.
Questions of Matt?
I just want to compliment the Helmut and his department, the amount of hours. You never see that boy's building looking better than it does for that night for those kids. You don't now recognize the boy's building, quite honestly, when you see that. And you've got one of the top DJs in the area there, and he lives here in town. So it's a great thing when you can touch that many lives in a short amount of time like that. Not just Friday night, but you got to clean it all up and redo it for Saturday night. And it's like, holy smoke, that's a lot of work. So a lot of great people working for a parks department right now. So nice job.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'll echo that as a user of the Father Daughter Dance. It was a great event. Always a wonderful time just seeing dads and daughters connecting, even if sometimes dads are at the table on their phones. It's still a really great event, and I think you're absolutely right. A lot of hard work by our staff, really proud of them. But I think the other thing to keep in note that a lot of people don't think of is, in a lot of ways, Father-Daughter Dance is an economic booster for a lot of people in February in our community, in and around our community, because of hair being done and flowers being purchased and dresses being purchased and makeup and all that kind of stuff that happens, not to mention dads probably dry cleaning suits they haven't worn in years. So it's a really great event, and again, we love it every year. So thanks to your staff.
Thanks.
Questions? Other questions? Thank you. Mike?
We've been working down here on South Chauncey. We had to pull off of it today because Wigens has been putting that 12-inch main in from Eagle Glen entrance to 200 East, and they're getting close to being able to connect to the other end. We have to go out there and put the valve on and that and get it ready for them to connect into it. Hopefully, if not this week, hopefully first of next week that they're done. We got it bacteria tested and pressure tested, and it is charged. So eventually it will go down on 200 to Connie Dye's property, and we'll feed that property.
Question to Mike. Thank you, Mike.
All the piping for the Forest Main project at Jefferson Main Street is in. You'll see those over on Jefferson and on South Main. That's supposed to start taking place first of March for the installation of that. Three lift stations that I haven't talked about on our SCADA project have been phasing in over the last couple of years. Two of those three stations are up and running with brand new panels. We have the third one will be up and running on the 20th. RMC has to move the electrical service from our old panel to the new panel. And the Donahue will actually be hooking all the wiring up from the new panel into the wetland and everything at the same time that RMC is working. So hopefully it's a seamless operation. And then just continue on our sludge hauling. Merrill Brothers dedicated one of their storage tanks to us. With 300,000 gallon capacity. We have filled that because they haven't hauled any. The facility in Indianapolis that is taking the sludge only is allowed, or not allowed, but they're only taking 25,000 gallons a day. So they're trucking it from our facility to Kokomo and then from Kokomo to Indianapolis. And they're handling it twice, but they're only charging us once. So it's working out decent. Slower than I wanted, but we'll get there.
Question on Mike. Thank you. Tom.
As you all are aware, I normally say that we have something broken. Everything's functioning correctly this evening.
Playing with fire.
We have our interview process. We have five people that have made it through the agility test, the written test. We've got five people moving on to the interviews. Jennifer was not able to help us on March 1st. And so we have a new person helping this time. Leslie will be helping with the interviews. Excited about that. We'll see how many, and hopefully we pass them on to the Board of Works afterwards. The guys have taken it upon themselves to kind of do a little spruce up at the fire station. They've mudded and have painted the living quarters. And then they took it a step further this evening, and they're doing the same thing with our tool room. Down off the bays, which is a big deal. As you can imagine, turnout gear, all of our anything that we work on goes in the tool room. It was needing a little spruce up, and they decided to take that on, so I want to thank them for that. Chris has been working with some of our area businesses with their alarm systems. Some of them, when they, I'll just throw it out there, the Van Buren flats, when they built them, they put in smoke detectors in their kitchen areas, which there's only required to have it by their bedrooms. They put an extra one in by the kitchens. And it was setting off a lot of alarms, which can become problematic. So Chris is working with them, being that they're not required, and he worked and called Craig and did a whole lot of research. They're going to work with the Van Buren flats to switch those out to heat detectors instead of smoke detectors. It kind of plays inside the code and will hopefully reduce the amount of alarms we're going there. So that's pretty awesome. As Sean mentioned, Adam McKinney went to Florida. We sent him to Florida for an emergency vehicle technicians course. It's the first class of many that he'll have to take to get that certification. But I appreciate Sean letting him go to these. It's a big deal to make sure for liability purpose for the city that when somebody works on our fire truck that goes lights and sirens down the road with a 40,000 pound vehicle, that truck is maintained to its standards. So thanks for letting that happen, Sean. And then something I forgot to bring up for the Board of Works is IMPA had contacted us in reference to the solar park for emergency response. And I don't know if you made that happen or Mr. Andrews is the one that contacted us. And I said, yes, we definitely want to have that training, even if it's just to show up and go, boy, there's sparks in there and we're not going in. We need to know what our responsibility as a fire department is for that solar park. So whoever made that happen, thank you.
Question to Tom. Thank you. Marcia.
Nothing.
Rosie.
Nothing.
Couple things for your information. Gary's report. Deputy Chief Anderson's doing great in his first month. the police department has opened up a process earlier this month. They're kind of doing some different things to try to attract new applicants. I think they have 3 spots available right now. Deadline for that is March 1st at 3 p.m. RAVE notification system, if you're not aware of that, it's our new notification system where individuals, residents can sign up for specific lists. So if they want to know about when utility bills are due, if they want to know about when the aquatic center is at capacity, if they want to know when there's a lunch with the mayor program, whatever, they can sign up for the specific notifications that they want without saying, I want every city notification, although they can do that too. So RAVE is in full swing now. Residents do have to opt in for those notifications. We've hung a lot of flyers around. We've been advertising it on social media, things like that. But it is, and actually it'll be in the newsletter that I think goes out beginning of March. So that's a really cool thing. Our new officer, Hershberger, is in phase 2 of FTO training and doing well. For dispatch, there's a couple tabletops that were ordered to be replaced because of damage. And response plans are being worked on. The training on those is being completed. Of course, they're continuing to update SOPs and other things like that. For Kelly, they did work at the back of the park last Thursday, grinding leaves. Got done about 3.5 hours. He sent a couple pictures that we put on social media to kind of show that. As you know, as spring arrives, those leaves will be used for mulch, and it's open to the public to come and take. I mean, yes, if they want to come take it now, they probably can. That is open to the public to come grab whatever they need mulch from the pile. When it's gone, it's gone. But it's a great recycling scenario where we're taking the leaves we picked up in the fall and reusing them for mulch, getting those nutrients back in the ground. So I think that's
awesome. The better it is to get picked up, the better my backyard smells.
That's right. That's true. The electric department, of course, finished tree removal last week, apparently. Well, maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm not sure when the report was. But I know that they had worked with that and with them on that. Kelly met with the engineer contractor for Farm Credit Services building that's going on there at Connection Way and Lincoln Way. 2 biggest questions I'm getting right now is what's going in Advanced Auto Parts and what's being built at Lincoln Way and Connection Way. Advanced Auto Parts is a car wash, and Lincoln Way and Connection Way is a new Farm Credit Services building. They cleaned up the dump site, doing a little bit of work there. They had a couple of them attend a sewer conference, and they've been patching potholes with cold mix and working on the alleys and those kind of things, sign maintenance as well. So having a couple of sunny days has been very helpful for them to get out and get that work done. So a couple of things for you to know. Obviously, as we published on Facebook and stuff today as well, City Retreat is Thursday and Friday down in Noblesville. And we're excited about that and just hearing the goals and the kind of projects that the department heads are kind of considering and thinking about as well, set a vision, as you well know, for the future of our community. Guys, reminder, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. I don't know if you remember that, but tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Just so everybody remember. It's also Ash Wednesday, but
three ladies on
her. I understand that. I didn't look this way, I looked that way. If you let's see, what else is going on? I had the honor on Monday of being interviewed by AIM for the AIM Hometown Innovations podcast. So I'll be on the podcast here soon, which is kind of neat. Just as a reminder, next week I will be out of the office. I will be incommunicado for that week. Of course, you know you can text me if you need to. Might get in trouble by Amanda, but you can text me next week. Besides that, for the two of you, your information, we are tentatively scheduling, or actually I think we have scheduled, March 4th at 6:30 p.m. for the Westgate contractor meeting. So since you guys represent that district, I wanted to let you know that March 4th, we just got that set, end of last week, I think. So,
Plan Commission, Dan.
Say what?
Dan can't make it. It's Plan Commission.
Oh, it's Plan Commission night. Are you making it?
Yeah.
Okay. That means you can't make it either. Okay. Well,
oh, yeah, both.
Either way, we'll hold down the fort. That's the point. So we'll hold down the fort. Also, for your information, it's kind of coming up quick. It just kind of got scheduled as well. My State of the City address has been scheduled for Friday, March 8th. You guys probably don't even know that yet, but Friday, March 8th at the library will be my State of the City address. Okay? You will all be invited to that. You are welcome to come. Noon, I think, is lunch. Shortly thereafter will be the grand display. Bloviation, I'm sure. Hopefully we'll highlight the good things that are coming, that's for sure. Also, just one last thing I'll note, we approved it at War Works, but Moover is going to have another stop by from America's Best Restaurants. They're coming back, and so that'll happen on Thursday the 7th, March 7th, from I think 2 to 5. So if you want to stop by Moover, give them some support, that'd be great too. So I think that's all I have for right now. I know that was a lot, and I'm sorry. Dan.
Okay.
Jennifer.
So, when we were at Ames in January, Dan and Leslie and I were doing some educational stuff about organizing public meetings.
Okay.
And we have drafted some language that we would like to consider as a framework for how to operate these meetings.
Okay.
But we have sent it to Marsha
for review.
Right now.
Okay.
And I've given you something back already.
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I know at the very first meeting, of the council, we actually had some discussion about that, and I think in general we were supportive of, or at least I was, but I think the council was supportive of putting some parameters on just to, again, knowing where some public meetings have went in other places, and knowing some of the decorum we like, but also making sure we're hearing citizens, all that kind of great stuff. So.
I think Jennifer put together that was really good.
I actually need to give credit to Leslie. Leslie put together the draft.
Okay. So once the actual formal, we'll say, rules package is put together, I'm assuming maybe at the next meeting, or?
Could be.
Okay. So putting that in place and then effective date and all that kind of great stuff. But yeah, okay, good. Thanks for letting us know that's coming. Anything else? Tad.
We have redevelopment meeting today. And we'll talk more about what we discussed with beautification of the south entrance down in our retreat area.
Great. Thank you.
Keep you on edge.
Jenny.
I have nothing.
Leslie.
I have nothing.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the public? We have no media, so we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.